You were listening to The Peaceful Planet synthesized from spirit through the mediumship of Robert Murray. Listen in to The Peaceful Planet every Saturday at 12 noon Central to music from the angelic realms, including inspired songs from John Lennon, George Harrison, and Michael and the Band. This is show host Marcia McMahon inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and the Archangels as we bring you in to a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. Hear my weekly interviews with cutting-edge world teachers and musical talent.
Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? We are one on the Peaceful Planet show at www.bbsradio.com every Saturday at 12 noon Central Time.
Guest with us today, Rose Campbell, who is a friend and also likewise a channel for the spirit of the late Princess Diana. And we have some new revelations and new messages from Diana from the other side that you want to especially tune into. And you were listening to the Peaceful Planet Mix. The music is being written by Bob Murray at starstillshine.com. You can hear more of Bob's great music inspired from the other side. Some of the people that he's writing music with are John Lennon and George Harrison, Michael and the Band, and others. As well, we are opening our phone lines for readings today, so we have a very exciting show. And I want to also make an announcement about this special new class that I'm starting, and I want to give out our toll-free number. We're at 877-876-5227. For readings and toll-free in Canada, we're at 888-810-8322. And there are many readings, and we ask that you phrase a question. You can also ask Diana some questions, either Rose or I. We'll be glad to answer the question if we know it. Okay, and we have a worldwide number that's listed now that you can call from anywhere, but you'll have to check the show page and BBS for that number. My producer just gave me that bit of information, so that's exciting. So I'd like to read Rose's bio, and then I'd like to talk a little bit about my Archangel Michael's Earth Angel training, which I want to make our audience aware of. Rose has worked as a clairaudient channel for the world of spirit for 20-plus years. Rose works with the spirit of Diana, Princess of Wales, on continuing Diana's work and the spirit of Martin Luther King, Jr. on relaying his statements that he once made from his present perspective. Rose as well facilitates a monthly channeling forum in her local area and offers private sessions with the celestial realm everywhere via the Internet. Details about Rose's work can be found at www.sessionswithspirit.info at www.dianaspeaks.info. By the way, that's a really beautiful site featuring information on Andrew Russell Davis and his full voice mediumship with Diana. And then on YouTube with Sessions with Spirit after YouTube.com. So, Rose, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Marcia. As always, a pleasure to be with you.
Yes. Now, I want to go on with my announcement about my training class, and then we'll go back and, you know, talk about Diana's messages on Gaza that came in, and also on anything that new that you may have from the late and great Dr. King. So before we go ahead with that, I wanted to take a moment for our listeners to learn about my new class, Archangel Michael's Earth Angel Training. And this will be a course in intuitive development training for ascension and for world peace as given by the Ascended Masters and Archangels. And that is posted on the show page of the Peaceful Planet. If you want to click the link that says about this program, you can find all of Rose's websites, and as well you can find my home website at Diana Speaks to the World. And then you have to click on the link that says classes. And this is a quote from Archangel Michael, whom I work with. I and my legions of warrior angels stand by to assist earth angels wherever you are in need. And he is saying, form communities of light, directing seekers to their own light within. For once the connection is made, no one can sever it. And so Archangel Metatron said through Carol May, another guest on my program, that I would be the next master teacher. So I've taken on the mantle of teaching. I am by nature a teacher, but I'm expanding it to help those of you that want to learn how to connect to spirit, to do so in a joyful way, to gain greater intuitive information from your guides and your masters as well. We'll be doing a special feature on this class on the secret teachings of Yeshua. As I may have revealed in other radio show programs, I remember a past life with Jesus and will be revealing some secrets about the Holy Grail, the Holy Child, and other kinds of special spiritual information that really isn't available elsewhere. So this is on sale, and you can pick that up right now through the end of January for just $150 for 5 one-hour sessions through teleconference and email support. So I want to encourage you to visit my website and check that out. And again, the information is posted, and I'm also at Diana Speaks to the World, and you can go to the site index for more info. But anyway, I'm excited about that, and it's something really good to look forward to in the new year for those of you that are wanting to learn more about connecting to spirit. So, Rose, again, it's great to have you with us, and I'm looking forward to hear what you have to say from the other side through the two greats, Princess Di and Dr. Martin Luther King.
Well, and it's actually my privilege to serve as a voice for those great beings, and of course many others. I don't always speak to the notable and famous.
Yeah, I know, and you have a whole series of guides, and you're doing some new things with your sessions with Spirit as well. Sort of a group soul that you're working with of some sort, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm. They pretty much describe themselves as they are us and we are them. So I take that as they are a collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting, and I really want to compliment you on the lovely work you're doing on YouTube with your videos and the imagery that goes along with the Diana channelings through Andrew and your own work with your guides on YouTube, and you really have a talent for web work. I'm really impressed. It's beautiful.
Well, you know, I have so many channels from many sources, and I just decided to put some of them to image and to music and get them on YouTube because they don't do much good sitting in my computer.
Well, I know.
The world
must hear. I feel the same way about mine. You know, even when you post a message onto a website in plain text, it doesn't have the same effect on you that watching a YouTube video does, even if you don't have moving images as in movies, you know.
Well, and part of the real challenge to making these videos is finding the images that can represent certain concepts from the spiritual world. And that has been really, truly my chore. But I'm pretty pleased with how they turned out.
Yeah, you really have the knack. They're absolutely gorgeous, and I've got to continue to explore them, and I want to encourage our listeners to go to sessionswithspirit.info and click on some of her sessions. And I know you have a whole series done with Andrew, and we were going to be speaking the first part of the show about my message from Princess Diana, where she's speaking on Gaza and a need for peace and ceasefire in the Gaza Strip right now as well. Andrew received a very similar message almost at the same time with a very similar tone. And so we connected, I connected to Rose to just simply invite her on to talk about Martin Luther King, but we both feel that this message from Diana is particularly timely since there hasn't been a ceasefire yet. And we want to preface this by saying, especially as well, that if you are listening to this message and you feel that it has strong political overtones, please take no offense, especially if you are Jewish, in that I do believe that Diana is speaking more as a humanitarian here and as a plea for the fighting and the bombing to end on both sides. But in particular, she says in this message, she's standing up for the helpless Palestinian people. And so while we take no political sides either, we want to deliver her very important words to the world at this time, because many of us as light workers are sending light to that region. And whether you are Jewish, Muslim, or Christian, or New Age, or whatever your spiritual persuasion may be, I think the world itself needs to move to a greater sense of oneness and peace. And the only way we get to that point very often is by letting go some of the religious barriers that exist, and they strongly exist in that area of the world. So as we endeavor to read this message, please read it with an open mind, or let me read it with an open mind and heart, and see if you can't hear Princess Diana coming through in the words as I read the channeling that was received January 10th. So this is Princess Diana speaking on the Gaza situation. Diana, may I go on then to the deteriorating situation in Gaza? Marcia, indeed, Diana, please do go on. Diana, the situation in Gaza has reached crisis proportions with little hope in sight for the average Palestinian there that are going without sleep, food, shelter, or water. What they are enduring there is surely enough already. So we ask, how much is enough, and when can the endless bombing on this mostly civilian population end? The Palestinian people are not the ones producing rocket fire, and many of the UN schools, which are bomb shelters, have been bombed. I have seen this wreckage myself and stand with the injured in this terrible scene. So many viewers around the world are spared these jarring images of war and horror due to the fact that Israel simply won't allow press coverage. And I want to ask, what has the incursion won them? Peace and security? A good conscience or stability in the region? No. War never begets any of the blessings of the intentions of the nations who war openly on other lesser people. I don't mean to say that anyone is lesser. I am merely pointing out that some societies feel greater than others. Whilst I am not on any side, I am a humanitarian first and foremost, and I see those crossing over and hear the stories from the victims of war myself. Marcia, I sense your outrage, Diana, and your intent to teach the futility of war. Do you recommend any diplomatic solutions, which you are so brilliant for? At the moment, my dearest Marcia, and this is Diana speaking, I cannot recommend anything but an end to the madness that is this war. While I am standing up for the people of Palestine in this case and asking for a ceasefire, and then perhaps people of Palestine will think more carefully before electing Hamas into any government role in the future. They have accomplished little to nothing to help their people, and have ruined their cities and their area of Gaza, along with Israel's invasions. If this gets any worse, Israel will have to worry about Iran taking out its revenge on her. There are Arab states posed to carry out dire plans for Israel should she become more aggressive, and woe to Israel should she bomb Iran. The situation is not good, and so I ask those listening today to meditate and pray for peace tonight and in the next week. We hope the new American administration will get right on this issue, but at this administration, this current administration is all but phased out. I am sending on my light and love to all affected in this region and take no sides. My love to all, Diana. So anyway, that's a pretty powerful message. And Rose, when we were communicating this week, you posted another message to one of the sites. If you could direct our listeners to that and summarize what she was saying in that message for us, too.
Well, it is a podcast, and it's Diana speaking through a voice channel, a male by the name of Andrew Russell Davis. And on this podcast, which can be found at www.dianaspeaks.info, and it is listed under the page Current Messages. And on there she talks in the same vein as Diana as she comes through you. And she tries to take the humanitarian view, although she does point out in order to be the humanitarian, she had to work within political parameters, because most of the atrocities that call for humanitarian efforts, of course, is born of political unrest. And so if people wanted to go to this site, they could hear Diana speaking and hear her views, which, again, as Marcia and I found out when we began communicating this week about doing a segment on Martin Luther King, that, once again, what she receives through her aspect of Diana mirrors what Andrew and I get through our aspects. So, again, just more proof for us that it's one grand lady working through many voices.
Absolutely. And did you have anything new from Diana yourself that you wish to share?
Well, basically, in a quick summary, that many of the things that are happening now, be that the financial squeeze that is happening, down to a lot of the Mideast unrest, a lot of the internal struggles, the civil struggles that are happening in the United Kingdom, many of these, it's all preset, let's say, to a point. Of course, it is human will that these things are existing, but they are being utilized to help humanity begin to look about them for things that have more value than monetary systems, greed, these types of things. And she says, when humanity is ready to look for things other than the idols that they have set their eyes upon, her work may then take a large leap forward.
Mm-hmm.
And humanitarianism can really become what it is intended to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting. I was looking back on her Christmas message, and I have other words of hers on the situation with the American economy and other of the things that you're mentioning here. She also mentions her three most revered channels, of which I think she's speaking of you and Andrew and myself. So more collaboration.
We can only hope.
Yes, we certainly hope, but there are more channels than we're even aware of, and there are many people who've had the great honor of hearing from Diana, who have also written books, whom I've not interviewed on the show, and who may be out there, you know, always encouraged to get in contact with me if you have new information from Diana that we also haven't heard. So I'll just put that out there. Now, was there anything else that you wish to say about Diana and what she's saying, because my guides have confirmed that these financial crises, and in fact, Diana, she asked if we could divert our focus from America for a short moment and see the needs in other countries, that the economy situation is much more dire. It's having terrible impact on, for instance, Africa and Indonesia and the Middle East. Those are the three things she asked about in the Christmas message through me. I was wondering what else you had to say about that, or Diana had to say.
Well, of course, it may have begun in America to a point, but it is affecting every nation. And if, and she's correct, I mean, if countries like America and UK are, which are, compared to some countries, financially wealthy, how hard is the impact hitting these other countries? Because it's always a trickle-down effect.
Precisely, yeah.
In my personal life, you know, I have been affected by it, and so therefore I'm having a hard time being as generous with the charities that I normally try and support. I just don't have the funds to do so. So therefore, the charities, and I'm sure this is happening across the board, so these charities don't have as much money to help the people who really need help. So Diana is right. We need to look at the whole spectrum of what we are doing, what is being played out here.
Definitely. And, you know, if you're looking for a good charity, a lady I had on my show a few weeks ago is a lovely Palestinian Christian woman who lives in East Jerusalem, not in Gaza, who has a foundation in the UK, and the name of her charity is Lazarus Home for Girls, and you can also donate to her. But there are many good charities. Of course, Diana always recommends the Red Cross and her foundation, which is continuing on her work. So those are some good outlets for listeners who perhaps have more money and want to think about giving to others at this particular time of need. You know, I also find it very encouraging that Barack Obama is coming into power. And although, you know, we're not particularly political in the sense of elections, nor have I ever publicly endorsed him, I've had many messages from Archangel Michael and Saint Germain and even Diana that have referenced him as a light worker. So I'm particularly excited to see what I can do, and then in particular my work with Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, and the book has been read, and the messages have been read in previous administrations by different secretaries of state. So she has charged me with contacting Hillary, and of course she and Hillary were friends, so it's very amazing that all of the people that I've been able to reach in the past were former friends of Diana in life, and they end up being Secretary of State.
Well, that is so kind of a synchronicity, isn't it?
She put me up to this, and I did send a book on to Hillary yesterday, but I've never formally tried to contact Hillary in any other way. But it's very important in the book that I've written, she says, that we establish the two-state solution and end this endless suffering that's going on in the Middle East on both sides through the diplomacy of the two-state. And I do think Condoleezza was doing her very best to get that UN resolution passed, and she actually wrote it, authored it, pushed it through, and then she had to withdraw her vote, which stopped the ceasefire in Gaza, because George W. said no. He said, no, we can't do that. It was like, oh, my God. It was so discouraging to see that. So much for this administration, you know. I look to Barack, and I'm sure that Dr. King has a good deal to say about this very momentous time in history when we anticipate the inauguration coming up in 2 days. And I just heard him this morning as he spoke on his train ride as it left from Philadelphia. So were you able to take any time to get any information from the late Dr. King?
Yes, I did get some time, and I asked him for a statement specifically for this show.
Wonderful. Okay.
And so whenever it's convenient to you, I will read exactly
what
he was
thinking. Why don't we take a brief break right now, and we'll listen to a song titled Remarkable Diana, And when we come back, we'll devote the second half of the show to the late Dr. King. Does that work for you?
Sounds good.
All right, so we're going to play Remarkable Diana. And we're back. We're back with Rose Campbell, and you were listening to Remarkable Diana by Bob Murray. You can hear more of his wonderful music at thestarstillshine.com. Remarkable Diana is a song that John Lennon wrote in tribute to Princess Di on the other side. And so we were giving tribute and just discussing Diana and her work from spirit. So now we turn to the late, great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. We do a show almost every year at this time with Rose, and she's a phenomenal channel for the late Dr. King, as well as being a phenomenal channel for Princess Diana. And we're so pleased that he came through with a message at this historic moment in American history, where we have elected the first black president, Barack Obama. And my guides tell me that he is of the light, and we're really thrilled to see what's going to evolve, and we'd be thrilled to have the late Dr. King with us. in the words from Rose Campbell.
Well, Marcia, let me give the audience a little bit of a brief background. When I began to work with Diana, actually the night that she died, I was flabbergasted to find myself in conversation with her. But I began to work with her, but somewhere during that phase, Martin Luther King approached me. And I couldn't personally just handle two at once. And so I kind of, not as nice as it might not sound, I kind of didn't go anywhere with it. I kind of fobbed him off because I was involved in working with Diana. Well, little did I know that somewhere around 9 years later, I would be reapproached by him to be, as he put it, his secretary, which I found humorous.
Yeah, it is humorous, isn't it?
And we worked out an agreement that, yeah, fine, great, I'll give you the time, I'll write the words, you give them to me, and, you know, all of this. But so I've done a series of statements from him. He said that they could be either articles, standalone, or they could be put into book form. He has not yet made a decision exactly about what we're going to do with these, but anyway, in light of doing this show with you, I reapproached him and asked him to do a message specifically for this show. I know in other shows I've read some of these articles that he has written, but I wanted to see if he would comment on current events specifically for this show.
Wonderful.
So
that's very kind of you to take the time to do that, considering I know you're working a full-time job, too.
Well, you know, nothing is more important than the words of spirit. So
I think so, too.
So I'll just read this verbatim as I received it.
Wonderful.
I said, Martin, I would like to ask you to make a few statements on current world situations, if you would. Next week, Barack Obama is sworn in as President of America, and what does that make you feel? And what do you know of his intentions and or success? Also, do you have any comments on the Israel and Gaza Strip happenings and anything else that you might like to share about things happening from your perspective, please? The next words will be Martin's. There is never a prouder moment for me as when I see the eradication of prejudice and the bondage of being held down by color, sex, or the monies that one does not have at their disposal. It is a proud day for America when they can override their own history of holding the black man as not worthy of voting to becoming a nation where a black man receives the most votes. It is a feeling that I lack words to describe adequately, but I will say it is one of great relief and a knowing that my time there, that my service as Martin Luther King, Jr. was not in vain, and that my death was indeed necessary to be a reflection of the ways that hate can end a life, and that it is never a sanctioned thing for man to hate another man. The rise of a man of color to the seat of power that once had to be bullied into helping the men of color of their day is a glorious thing. It is the fulfillment of what I had envisioned in part, and someday the world will know that my mission was indeed God-given. I had fought a battle that could not see victory in the lifetimes of those who witnessed it firsthand. The former things had to pass away, and a new generation had to renew the battle and weigh its worth. And the answer to how they found that battle to have been is shown by the trust that is now given to a man of color. I see great social change not only in the election of a black man, but flowing forth from that man. There will be yet a bit of time before the world will see that a man's skin color does not reflect the greatness or lack of greatness, but that only his characters or his actions may show what lies within. The man Obama is a great man regardless of skin color, and that is what will show the world the next step in their evolution, for it is ordained that the man who rose from the bed of prejudice against those of his color and his religion will lead with a mighty wisdom, and that the wisdom is given not from the seat of power, but from within the man himself. This event will be a crossing of the mountaintop I had climbed and crossed due to God's grace and the fulfillment of what I spoke of when I said that one day all the children of the world would play in harmony. Your nation is indeed set to receive a blessing. Humble. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I lost a bit of it somehow, just
okay.
Momentarily. Could you repeat the last one?
Your nation is indeed set to receive a blessing, mm-hmm. And I am humbled that my work and my death gave rise to the moment about to happen in your nation. Let freedom ring not just for America, however, for America, as I have said prior to you, will be but a template for other nations, and again, that is not remnants of my own patriotism for having been American in my former life, but rather what I have come to know while here and what I now know of the plan that unfolds. Mark this day on your calendars as you have marked the day of my birth, for indeed it is mightier and more worthy of celebration. It is the birth of America choosing to forgo their own former history and moving more fully into God's design. The wars that still plague your world is, as are all wars, abominable and offensive to the nature of God. The killing of any who are different race and beliefs is not sanctioned by the Creator of all, and so I can only say that man's evolution and growth into what reflects the intended design is still falling short of the mark. The killing of others for greed is perhaps far worse, and so the world needs to look at the genesis of what all wars are indeed about. While it might be told that the wars upon your world are about religious domination or for the protection of the innocent, if the truth of the greed behind them might be seen, then the world would perhaps view them as unnecessary and therefore suspend the funding and the fueling of them with youthful bodies. There has never been a war that did not have greed at its source, and it is a curse from time immortal. The first argument between men over domination and the achieving of honor and the greed for another's blessing was shown clearly by the brothers Cain and Abel. Did not Cain kill Abel due to greed for God's attention? Was not the first killing a story to learn from rather than to mimic? The truth that is behind the situation that you have asked about is but again a story of greed. Each wants to possess what another has, and the killing is done to ensure the gaining of that. It might be touted and displayed as a need born from protection or from the right to live in peace, but how does war engender peace? How does each death deliver but more heartache and the desire for vengeance? It is a sign that the evolution of mankind does indeed have a far piece to go, and I say that unless man outgrows the need for war, then they will never see God's kingdom, never see the peace of Allah, or the fulfillment of any prophecy of peace upon their lands. I fought against a war of my time as a man, and I still fight against any war, for it is damning and an irreparable scar against the history of humankind. I will close and say that while man has given great gains in some areas, that his world is still wobbling out of bounds, and that as long as man does not see the wisdom of aligning one to another in harmony, these conditions will exist, and the pain, suffering, and tears shall not be at an end. I have seen a better way, and I know through my own soul that it is possible, and yet mankind still denies the truth I have been shown. Let each person, regardless of nationality, color, religious belief, become what Creator intended, and soon enough, even slowly, the vision I was given will be his. Thank you once again for being my hands and my voice. Ours is a union that might help to allay the wobble of the world a small bit, and that is far enough for me to rejoice over.
Wow. I'm speechless after that. It's like a fantastic speech, like he had planned it, and all you did was call upon him. I mean, you hear every bit of the eloquence of Dr. Martin Luther King in that.
Yeah, his words are pretty powerful in the way he puts them. I mean, you know, yeah. What can I say? It's not something I could have written.
No, definitely not. It's not Rose Campbell. That's
no, Rose is far more simplistic than this was.
Oh, my goodness. That is phenomenal. That is just so phenomenal. How about if we open our phone lines for call-ins, if anyone would like to ask a question of myself or Rose concerning her work. We're at 877-876-5227. And I will take some calls for readings if you would like a mini reading. Or you have a question for myself or Rose about the great late Dr. King. or the work of Princess Diana, and you'd like to ask a question, toll free in Canada, it's 888-810-8322. Feel free to give us a call, ask a question. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, you know, Marcia, I'm going to mention this here. When I first agreed to work as MLK's secretary, I think the first thing that really kind of threw me for a loop as I was taking this dictation from him was he began to say things that I just never would have expected. And, of course, it was from a much higher perspective. So I had to realize that, but one of the first things he talked about was how his work had been based in fear and how that was wrong. And it kind of sent me for a loop because he talked about a little bit about the thoughts that he had as he was, what would you say, ebbing away from this life, this human life.
Well, that would be normal to experience fear after being assassinated, you know.
Well, but it was even, he said that his work, he saw now that while his work was good in on one hand, that he had been using, and I don't want to misquote him, but then I'm paraphrasing here, he had worked with the tension that his work would cause fear in the people opposed against him.
Well, yeah.
And he often used that to get the national attention, to get the TV cameras there. To get the TV cameras there. And he realizes now that that was one of the flaws with his work, was that he really was working utilizing fear. And that makes, from a higher spiritual sense, it makes a lot of sense. So that was one
now,
of the...
When he said he was utilizing fear, was he speaking of the fear of God that he was putting in his constituents or the demonstrations which were causing fear in the hearts of the white man?
Both, I think. I think he was... the way I took it was that he knew if he went to some of these cities and began this march, the white men would become fearful that he was becoming powerful. And so they would lash out. And he knew they would lash out. And he was utilizing that because he knew when a brouhaha happened, it would get exposure. And would take it from the streets of Selma or Montgomery or wherever, to the nation. And this is ultimately what he wanted.
But, you know, I've contemplated long and hard the benefits of peaceful assembly and protest. And I have not been directly involved in any peace activist protests against, for instance, the Iraq War, though I'm very much opposed to that. And, of course, the situation there in Gaza. And though I do feel it has a benefit to bringing attention to the world, and certainly the media's there, I've noticed that ever since the 60s, where all of the sit-ins and the peaceful demonstrations somehow were able to get the attention of the media, and eventually I believe a lot of the anti-war sentiment was able to end the Vietnam War, it doesn't seem to have been nearly as effective with the Iraq War. So I've been using my skills in channeling to affect diplomacy against war. But I'm interested in what you're saying and what your thoughts or his thoughts may be on the right of the people to peaceably assemble and resist war or resist anything that they wish to do. I mean, I still believe that it's a fundamental right and it's an essential part of the democracy that we hold dear. But at the same time, I've noticed that it doesn't seem to do anything anymore.
Well, you know, Marcia, perhaps that's because in the 60s it was new. After the turn of this new century, it's 40 years old. So mm-hmm. people are taking it a lot less seriously. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that to a great extent, for a lot of people, they're so caught up in their own lives, earning the bread, as the, you know, the hippies would have said, that they don't always, they're not always attuned to some things.
Yeah, well, you know, I do see that in this new age that we're moving into rather quickly, that there is so much angelic energy and energy from the center of the galaxy and so on that's coming in, that it is assisting us with the phenomenon known as ascension, and it is assisting us with world peace to such a degree that even the most apathetic individuals at some point are going to be affected by these new energies, these universal energies. And I do feel that those people that are still with us as we phase in closer, that basically people are going to be waking up whether they want to be waking up or not, and taking more personal responsibility for at least the concept of unity consciousness, which we promote here on the Peaceful Planet.
And
the idea
we are
of
seeing
unity
that.
Consciousness is prevailing right now among humanity. And you see this, of course, in the election of Barack Obama. But I think the idea that we need to get rid of our religious ideation that says that our religion is the best and only truth, and we need to get rid of some of these fundamentally flawed institutions that are holding us back as a unified humanity. And that's what Diana's been saying all along, that the religious righteousness, especially in the Middle East, is keeping that situation from a peace accord of some sort. And we can see it all over. You know, the war on terrorism has religious, much religious ideation and flawed fundamentalist thinking behind acts of terror that are perpetrated on innocent victims as well.
Well, I believe what Martin was getting at was, energetically speaking, now that he resides in a place where he can see a bird's eye view of the life that he was involved in, energetically speaking, I think what he was trying to convey, and again, I'm paraphrasing and probably doing a semi-poor job of it, he regrets that he utilized the energy of fear
mm-hmm.
to accomplish what was necessary, and that there that any time that you utilize the negative energies, it cannot hold the full intent of the positive outcome. Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely does, yes. Although, given, you know, his position, I would say that he gave a sterling example of what a peace worker should look like to America.
Right, but I guess he's just saying, as a critique of his own self, I assume, you know, what the work I did was good and the work was necessary, but I wish I hadn't played upon others' fears.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty hard to do when you look back at the 60s and you see the level of terrorism that existed in America against black people, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they lived in constant fear. They had restrictions on them. They couldn't get on a certain part of the bus, and they couldn't eat at restaurants with white people. They had to go to a separate section, and it was just on and on it went, especially in the South. So it was a fear-based culture. And
exactly.
Now we're trying to move into a more tolerant culture based on love and acceptance. And, of course, we have a ways to go because the human psyche and the mass consciousness haven't caught up with others of more elevated consciousness that do this channeling, that are trying to promote these values that we hold dear as a collective. I mean, we do hold these values dear, but it's very hard for people to express them, I think. But
well,
I think more and more people will be able to. It's just, I guess my feeling is that the internet and television keep people kind of dulled, like John Lennon said, you know, keeping people sort of dulled when he wrote the song Working Class Hero, you know.
Well, I personally, myself, in taking the dictation, found it surprising, but I also personally felt that he was being a little hard on himself, because as you said, in that day, in that time, at that level of consciousness, when Martin Luther King and the others and the black people themselves began to stand up and say, hey, we are men, we are created equal, there was not much way to avoid fear from the classes who tried to hold down the masses.
That's right. That's what I was saying, yeah.
It was and,
a fear-based culture.
But I understood where he was coming from, because he's not seeing it as Martin Luther King. He's seeing it now as the man who used to be Martin Luther. Well, I should say the entity who used to be Martin Luther King.
From a spiritual perspective.
And understands that his work would have been more perfected, I guess, is what he was trying to convey, had he not fallen into the trap of engendering more fear.
Hmm. Gotcha on that one, and we're almost at the close of the show, Rose. Can you believe it?
I know, it goes so fast.
It does, it does, and it's always such a pleasure to have, you know, your great work with Dr. King. I look forward to a book or some sort of website or YouTube or something at some point. And there will be an archive that we'll have created today, so if you're interested in using that for a YouTube, that would be interesting to see, too. I love the work that you're doing. It's beautiful. We're going to mention your website, www.sessionswithspirit.info, where you can sign up for a session with Rose. And she's working in tandem with Andrew Russell Davis at www.dianaspeaks.info. doing lovely videos of the late Princess and her full voice channeling. And then you can also check Rose's workout on YouTube.com, Sessions with Spirit. Rose, thank you so much for being a special guest, as always.
Well, thank you, Marcia, for giving me the chance.
Well, it's lovely to hear these messages from Diana and also from the late Dr. King, and we wish everyone a very great day today, and we're going to close out with a tune titled War is Not the Answer by Doug Adams. We thank you for listening to The Peaceful Planet, and we hope you join us next week. We have a very special guest, Jesse Marcel. So thank you, folks, and we'll be seeing you again sometime soon.
War is not the answer. No, not today. War is not the answer. There's a better way. I don't believe the TV or the magazine. It's just the party line, the propaganda machine. They're playing on our fear, but I won't be played. They're playing on our fear, but I'm not afraid. They tell me everybody's falling in line, everybody's bowing to the throne. In lockstep, may as well. Sieg Heil. While a fool's making war on the world to get himself a bigger pile. Gangsters, assassins, and thieves, blood dripping from a fountain pen. Families, starving little children, I wish I was just making up fiction. Love is the answer. Love is the cue. And if you take the path of love, it might be the hardest one you'll ever endure. Because it's easy to hit, easy to kill, easy to break it down.